You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5786, 2026. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kisisa, and this week's Parsha is a hard Parsha. It tells us the story of the Maisa HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, and generally speaking, I like to focus on positive things and not focus on negative things. So this Parsha always presents with a challenge and a difficulty. I'd like to share with you a Medrash. And the Medrash does indeed focus in on the sin. And it teaches us a huge lesson, a huge and deep lesson about sin, about what happens when we make a mistake, when we do an Avera, when we transgress, we go against Hashem's will. How does Hashem see that? Does that mean that Hashem hates us, heaven forbid? What happens as a result of this? So, I'd like to read to you, the Psukim say, as they're doing this Avera, Moshe Rabbeinu is on Har Sinai, he's on Mount Sinai, he's having a discussion with Hashem, he's been up there for 40 days and 40 nights, he's been studying with the best Chavrusa he could possibly have, he's studying with God himself. And Hashem says to Vayedaber Hashem Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Lech Reid, go down. Your nation has done something terrible. They've caused destruction. This nation that you brought out of Egypt. They quickly turned away from the way that I had commanded them, Hashem says. They made a golden calf. They bowed to it. They said about this Egel, they said about the calf, that this is the God that took you out of Egypt. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe furthermore, Ra'isias amazeh, I've seen this nation, v'hineam k'she'o rafu, and they are a stiff-necked nation. Okay, so Hashem says about us, we're going to explore two different points here in what Hashem says. Hashem is about to get upset, Hashem is about to take out his wrath upon the Jewish nation for so soon, 40 days after they got married, as it were, entered into a relationship with Hashem. They're already making a huge mistake, turning away from Hashem. And there are two points here. Number one is Lech Reid, which means Hashem says to Moshe, go down. And we'll see what that means to go down. But besides for that, there is also the aspect of Am K'she'o Refu. Am Yisrael is a stiff-necked nation. We are a tough nation. We are a difficult people. We're tough. And I have a little cold here today, so you'll excuse me. I may sneeze, and I may need to blow my nose. Apologies. Bottom line, we need to look at what is the Lech Reid, what is it Hashem is saying to go down, and what does it mean that Am K'she'o Refu, that we're a stiff-necked nation. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It sounds like a bad thing. It sounds like Hashem is saying, I'm frustrated with them. But we'll see that there is also a very positive side to that. Let's start off with what the Medrash says about Lech Reid. Amar Biavin, Amar L'Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. Biavin says, Hashem says to Moshe, Al Yer L'cha Shamarti L'cha Lech Reid Mikan. Don't be upset that I said to you, go down. You know, Moshe is having an awesome experience. He's learning Torah with Hashem himself, as it were, for 40 days and 40 nights. The most awesome, you know, he's getting instructions for Klal Yisrael for all time. 3,300 years later, we're still studying and trying to follow what Hashem taught Moshe on Mount Sinai. And Hashem says, I want you to go down and deal with the nation. They made this terrible mistake. Hashem says to him, don't be upset that I'm telling you to go down. Because, you know, you're not the first one that has to go down and deal with some kind of hashkasa, some kind of kilkul, some kind of destruction, some negative behavior on behalf of human beings. I've done this before. 2-3 times I had to go down, which means to say, Hashem has to leave his abode, leave the place of unity and enter into a place of disconnect from him. To see how people have caused destruction. Pasuk tells us that Hashem went down with Migdal Bavel, with the Tower of Babel. Hashem looked at the city and the tower that they were building. They were trying to fight with God, as it were. Excuse me. Pasuk says, also there, Hava Nerda, let's go down. So Hashem sometimes has to go down and deal with mistakes that are being made. Pasuk says, another Pasuk, Erdon of Ere, let's go down and see. And I believe that that's talking about in the context of Sodom, that the people were sinning, they were doing terrible things, and Hashem had to come down and really to judge them, to bring about some kind of destruction with the Migdal Bavel. So he had to separate the people to 70 lands, 70 languages. With Sodom, you had to destroy them completely. So Hashem says to Moshe, man, I need you to go down as well, and I need you to deal with the situation that's developing in the encampment of the Jewish people. And in this way, I want you, in a certain sense, to be similar. You're the servant. You're my servant. I want you to be similar to me. I also deal with different situations of people disconnecting from me, and I need you to do the same at this time. So Moshe, when he was told this, so he thought back to those times. Migdal Bavel didn't work out so well for the people. There was a terrible separation that occurred between the people. Not really an opportunity for them to do tshuva. Sodom, certainly, we see they were destroyed completely. So he said, maybe the Jewish people are not going to be forgiven. So Hashem obviously knows what's inside of Moshe Rabbeinu's heart. He's thinking this. And Hashem says, don't worry. And he calls him in order to be mefayis him, to reassure him. Hashem says, you don't have to worry. The Jewish people, I don't want you to go down there and destroy them. That's not what I'm after. In fact, there's something that I know about them that you don't realize. I actually knew about this from the onset. Ra'i ra'isi, which literally is talking in the context, Hashem says, I have certainly seen. Ra'i ra'isi, I saw. It's a double language. It's to emphasize the fact that Hashem is aware of the troubles of the Jewish people, and he's sending Moshe Rabbeinu in order to redeem them. But the Medrash is going to Darshan. You had one vision of the way that things are going to be. You saw the Jewish people are, as we're about to say in the Medrash, you saw that the Jewish people are going to come to Mount Sinai. They're going to receive the Torah. So you thought this is all going to be a bed of roses. You didn't realize that there's going to be, that there's something else to see in this event. You see, which is what Hashem said, I want them to come and serve me on this mountain. You saw that they're going to return to this mountain, which was the location where Moshe Rabbeinu originally met Hashem, as it were, at the burning bush. They're going to return here, they're going to receive the Torah. But I see, Hashem says to Moshe, I see that there's going to be something else that occurs. That yes, they're going to receive the Torah. I'm going to go back into my private room. In other words, they're going to have a vision of me. They're going to have an open revelation, which, as the Medrash is going to mention, is going to tell us that it's comparable to the revelation that Yechezkel Anavi, Ezekiel the prophet, in the first chapter of Yechezkel, the Ma'aseh Merkava. So he describes the entire amazing scene in the heavens above before Hashem speaks to him. He talks about the different angels and the different levels of angels, chayos and seraphim, and unbelievable scenes that he saw. And the Jewish people also saw all of that. And then when Hashem goes back into his abode, closes the curtain, so to speak, and the Jewish people can't see it anymore. Sheamus Boninim boy, Shamdimechamachisimasiboy. They're going to take something that they saw, the Jewish people saw when they had that revelation on the same level as Yechezkel ben Buzi. the same level as Ezekiel the prophet. So they saw something there that they would try to use and bring down to them where they are in this world. Where did the Egel Hazav come from? Where did the idea of the golden calf come from? Why was it a calf? Why was it a baby ox, as we're going to see? Shenemar, Fnei Shormei Asmol Arbatan. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, the Maaseh Merkava, so there's a type of angel that has four different faces, depending on which way it's facing, depending on which way it's going, or as the Mefarshim explained, depending on which aspect is manifesting. Each one has a different aspect. One face was the face of a human being. One face was the face of a lion. One face was the face of an ox. One face was the face of a nesher, an eagle. So they took what they saw there. They saw the revelation. They saw these angels holding up the throne of Hashem. And one of them was an ox. And they angered Hashem with that which they saw. Pasuk says in Tehillim, they exchanged the honor of Hashem for something that was secondary to Hashem, for something that was just an angelic being in the upper heavens. They saw the ox and they created a golden calf. They exchanged Hashem's honor, as it were, for the form of an ox. So Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, I knew that this was going to happen. I knew it. Don't think that when I took them out of Egypt, that when I sent you to save them, to redeem them, don't ever think that I wasn't aware that this is where we're headed. I'm going to give them the Torah, and they're going to have a revelation, and they're going to mess up, and they're going to take that revelation, and they're going to create a golden calf as a result. I knew about that before. Dabar Acher, same type of idea, the Medrash says. Rai Raisi V'Gonar Mau Ani Ami Zeke Ala Ego. What does it mean? Hashem says, I saw the word Ani means poverty or the pain of my nation. Zeke Ala Ego. This is the group of people who would cause pain to Klal Yisrael. They would cause destruction to Klal Yisrael as a result of the golden calf. Ra'isi, hi ariyah shalahalon, hi ariyah shebekan. It's saying that I knew all along. I knew all along that this is what's going to happen. I foresaw this. And yet, the implication here is, I'm not interested in their destruction. It's not like Sidon. It's not like the Tower of Babel. It's not like Migdal Bavel. I'm not just interested in their destruction. I'm interested. I know that they're going to receive the Torah one day, and then 40 days later, they're going to create a golden calf. I was aware of that. That was in the cards. And still, I want you to go down. I want you to deal with this problem, but clearly in a way that's not going to cause the ultimate destruction of the Jewish people. So now, what was the way that Moshe was to deal with it? So there's two different parts here. We'll see if we get into both of them. First, I'd like to share with you a medrash a little bit later. And it says like this. It says like this. It's in Parsha Membeis, Simon Tess. I have seen this nation. What does the pasuk mean when it says that this nation is a stiff-necked nation? What is it trying to say? So the first pshat is that they are such a difficult people. They are an amkshe orif. They have a thick neck. And that neck, this is really what the other measure says. We'll see if we get back to this, but just we'll touch on it here. Sometimes a stiff-necked person needs to be broken. Sometimes in order for a person to realize that there's a God, that there's Hashem in this world, we have to face off with our own stubbornness. We have to face off with our own stubbornness, and the stubbornness sometimes breaks us. We're so stubborn. And we're stubborn, and we're stubborn, and we continue in our negative ways, and ultimately we fall because of those negative ways. Sometimes that's how Hashem deals with us. It's not an angry God. It's not a God that, it's more like we reap the results of our own negative behavior. And ultimately Hashem reveals himself in what looks like judgment, what looks like harshness, looks like the Lehe'aref, right? It talks about the Egla Arufa. It means the neck is chopped off. But as we saw in that Medrash, Hashem knew about this from the beginning. So we're not talking about a punishing of destruction, right? So let's see. Let's see what the Medrash says further. So, Amar Rav Yakim, Shalash Chatzufim Hei. There are three who are considered extremely chatzuf, chutzpedik, brazen. Chatzuf b'chaya kelef, the most brazen, the kalbin chatzifin, the dogs are the brazen ones amongst the animals. Ba'oif tarnagol, amongst the birds, the most brazen of the birds is a chicken. My bubby, Zachary Levracha, she had a scar on her eyebrow over here. And, when she was a very little girl, probably 2-3 years old, there was a wild, crazy chicken, and it pecked at her, and it gave her a wound above her eye. She had a scar for the rest of her life. And the doctors were afraid that she wouldn't be able to see. Her eye was closed for a few weeks, but in the end, she was able to see. That's the brazen of the animals. What bird has the chutzpah to come over to a human being and peck at the human being? Uva'uma is Yisrael. And amongst the nations, so who is the most brazen of all the nations? Who has the most chutzpah? Who has the toughest neck? It's the Jewish people. So in the context of the Maisa Egel, so that's a rather negative thing. Jewish people defying Hashem's will. Right after receiving the Torah, we're defying Hashem's will. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Radifa, Hashem Rabbi Ami. Atas Amar Shu Lagnai. Rabbi Yitzchak says, you think that this is a negative thing, that this is a statement about the Jewish people that we're terrible. Ve'ina l'shvachan, o Yehudi Yitzchak. This is actually a praise of the Jewish people. It's the very negative thing of ourselves that we're so stubborn in the face of what others tell us to do, right? If Hashem says, don't do a Avodah Zarah, we'll show you. But in that same need of which is so negative in the face of Hashem's will, it's positive in the context of convert or die, the Medrash says. You want to stay a Yehudi, you want to be a Jew, so you're going to end up crucified. And the Jew says, I'd rather die than give up my faith. I remain steadfast and faithful. That's the stubbornness of the Jew. Amar Rabbi Avin says, Ad achshav karenes Yisrael b'chutz la'aretz ha'uma shel kshei erev. Until this very day, Rabbi Avin says, the nations of the world call us the stubborn nation. Who else would have the chutzpah to go in alongside the United States of America? But who else would have the chutzpah to go in and destroy our enemies in their own turf? Who else would have that brazenness? Who else has lasted for thousands of years amongst the wolves? So many wolves, 70 wolves, one sheep. And they know about us, the nations of the world, that we're a stubborn nation. We don't give in. We don't give up our faith. Amar Rav Nachman, Teda l'chashem kashim. Rav Nachman says, you should know how tough we are. Kishaba HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'itein lem es ha-tayr maksibohem. What does it say about the Jewish people when Hashem wants to give us the Torah? Did Hashem set up very calm scene for the giving of the Torah? Is that how Hashem did it? It was the third day, it was morning. Hashem shows them thunder and lightning. It's a whole scene. What's the point of the scene? Because it's to strike fear into their hearts. If you have a tough people and you want to impress them and you want them to realize that they better do what it says in the Torah, So you have thunder and lightning and you have a fearsome scene. And the Jewish people are frightened by the scene. And Hashem says, I'm going to show them all these miracles and I hope that that it works. To listen as a result. They're a difficult nation. I will go back to the other Medrash. So first thing I want to point out here is that what we see here is a few things. Number one, we see that Hashem expects us to make mistakes. Hashem chooses us despite the fact that we're a stiff-necked nation. He chooses us because we're a stiff-necked nation, because that's the only way that there's going to be a group of people who will hold on to the tenets of Yiddishkeit for 3,300 years. There's nobody else who could do that. There's no one else who would not bend and wouldn't bow to the nations of the world. Hashem sees that, and Hashem chooses us because of that. It has a positive side and it has a negative side, but Hashem knew that beforehand. So Hashem knows, and I've mentioned this before, but we're going to make mistakes. Let's be clear. Hashem expects us to make mistakes. We're human. Not only are we human, but we're a tough people. We're a stubborn people. But what is the way of dealing with this people? How do we deal with ourselves? You see that Hashem has to make wonders and signs that are frightening. Sometimes we need to be frightened into submission or into surrender. Right? Sometimes there's no other way. I'm going back to the pasuk before, which said, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go down. Lech raid. The word raid means go down, but there's another explanation for the word raid. The word raid is also the shoresh of the word rodan. A rodan is a dictator. Someone who forces others to do their will. Khomeini was a rodan in Hebrew. He was a dictator. The Jewish people, in order to get back on track, they need to be dictated to. Moshe Rabbeinu, sometimes, and we need to know this for ourselves, sometimes we make mistakes, sometimes it's enough to realize Hashem expects us to make mistakes, Hashem loves us, we're going to now pick it up and do what's right. But sometimes we need the threat of destruction. We need a threat of destruction. We need to realize that if we don't get ourselves back on track real quick, we're headed for disaster. So Rabbi Meir says, Lech Raid means go down, not just go down, but go and be a dictator to them. You have to make sure that you get them back on track sometimes with force. Hashem says we're a stiff-necked people. When does a person say, that guy is tough, that guy's a tough guy? That means that you got to deal with him accordingly. Hashem is saying, they're a tough nation. You got to deal with them accordingly. They say a similar thing. Moshe comes down and he stands in the gate of the encampment and he says, who is for Hashem? Right? And the Bnei Levi come. And he quotes God. He says, this is what Hashem, the God of Israel, says. I want you to take up a sword and I want you to go and you're going to have to kill people. You're going to have to kill the people who created this problem. Where do you find that Hashem told him, instructed him to actually go and use lethal force in order to solve this issue? Lech Raid. It's these words, which means literally go down, but it can also mean go and use force. Mal Raid, Mardus Heim Tzrichim. It means that they need to be forced. So I, you know, it's a tough thing for us to hear as Westerners. We're not used to this idea. You know, we don't have teachers who strike children. We don't have, you know, we don't have force being used in order to get people to do what they need to do. But I just want to take out the idea, the concept here, that there's different ways of dealing with, there's different approaches to dealing with mistakes. We're human. We make mistakes. And sometimes the mistakes themselves drive us into the ground, drive us to destruction, end us up in a place that really, you don't even have to call it mida keneged mida, measure for measure. The thing that we've done wrong itself is its own punishment. It creates the Gehenna. It creates that difficult position that is what the problem is. We created ourselves with our behavior. And so sometimes we are forced out of that behavior if we're smart. Sometimes we're forced out of that behavior before it destroys us. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to destroy the people who created this problem in order to save the rest of Klal Yisrael, really. But the other aspect, and I'm just bringing it back to what we said before, the other aspect is that we know that Hashem is aware of our nature. We know that Hashem is aware of the mistakes that we're going to make. We know that Hashem takes us out not just despite the mistakes, but He chooses us because of that mida, because of the mida of shei arif, of being a stiff-necked people. Hashem chooses us because of that harshness. The harshness that we have, which causes us sometimes to defy Hashem's will, is the same mida that we use to defy the will of those who take us away from Hashem's will. Okay? So, there's two ways of dealing with the problems that we have with our midas, with our negative character traits. One way is squash it. Get rid of it. But another way is redirect it. How can I use the midah of stubbornness in my avodas Hashem, in my service of God? How can I be stubborn? If I can be stubborn to do the wrong thing, how can I use the midah of stubbornness to do the right thing? To make sure I'm doing Hashem's will. To make sure that I'm trying my best to fulfill that which I know to be Hashem's ratzon. These are the things that we can take away. And we all see inside of ourselves, we've all had situations, we've all gotten ourselves in trouble with whatever ways of defying Hashem's will or hurting the people around us. Sometimes it's a stubbornness in our relationships with our spouses, with our kids, with our friends. Sometimes it's a stubbornness in our relationship with Hashem. But we have the capacity to be stubborn, right? That's human. How can we use that and redirect it? Sometimes squash it. Sometimes use it. I'm going to be stubborn. I'm going to make sure that every single week for 18 years and counting, I'm going to put out a Parsha podcast. Not an easy thing to do. Always have something to say. Always have something interesting. Something that inspires me. I'm going to be stubborn about it. I'm going to be stubborn. I'm going to learn every single day. I'm going to work on my relationship with Hashem every single day. I'm going to be listening to Divrei Torah. I'm going to be looking for Divrei Torah. I'm going to be setting times to learn. Stubbornness. I want to bless you. Ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us to indeed recognize where we're stubborn in the wrong ways. And Hashem should help us to take our stubbornness and redirect it to make sure we're using it in the right ways. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.